Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we feed you the nourishment of Jesus Christ our Lord, and I am your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required, but we'll keep an open mind and let's have some healthy discussions. Now, today I'm excited because we get to talk about Jesus Christ, and I talk about him every week, but I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today. But always remember, everything that I share is always rooted in the Bible, the human manual that all true believers must read and live by. So let's get started. I want to talk about the problem with Jesus, because every time I look around, all I hear is people complaining about our Lord and Savior. Right? They're complaining about him not being real and whether he really existed and all this Christian things and the hypocrites we see out here that's denouncing his name and making us all look like clowns. But at the end of the day, right, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, what really was the problem with Jesus anyway back in the day is the same problem that we have in the day. The same type of things that they complained about Jesus back in the ancient days are the same things they're complaining about Jesus today. Same argument, but we have the same answer. I mean, the ancient religious leaders had a problem with Jesus, and it was a big problem. They believed that God hated sinners. See, they were convinced that God wanted them to avoid such people, and that's why they struggled with Jesus' behavior. He regularly hung around dishonest businessmen, crooked. But from the religious community's perspective, God must have, they must have known that Jesus cannot be of God, right? Why is that? So Jesus must be a sinner himself because look at who he's hanging around. Now, Jesus knew how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law felt. And in order to correct their perception of God and how he felt about sinners, Jesus told them three parables. Remember what they were? If you want to get a pen and paper, we'll go over them. Because the first one was targeted at the men, the second at the women, and the third at the father. But through these three different stories, the one message Jesus communicated clear was God loves the lost people and he seeks them out. Wow, what a powerful lesson for those religious leaders. It's also powerful for us today because God doesn't hate sinners. He loves them. And sometimes as the Christian body, we sometimes forget that our purpose is to share the gospel and to reach out to them, not because we all sinners saved by grace. But just because someone is not a believer doesn't mean, now I'm not saying fellowship with them and put them in your inner circle, but what I am saying is put yourself in a position where the fragrance of Jesus can come off of you and they can see it. Right now, you look at them and consider the characteristics of each parable and what it says about God. You see, every person is important to God. You know this. The shepherd in the first parable had 100 sheep. Remember that? And they you might think that he would miss one, but he might have considered leaving all the others, right? You had 100. Why are you looking for one? See? Searching for that one can be inconvenient. It can be a hassle. You're leaving the 99 by themselves while you go out and look for the one. I mean, after all, this shepherd was a business owner, and think about it. You have to figure in that you're going to lose one here or there. It could be to a wolf. It could be to other animals that may capture, or it could be from people stealing it. That's part of operating costs, right? But see, God, the shepherd in this story, never considered abandoning even one soul without searching for it every day. The shepherd immediately went after the sheep and didn't stop searching until he found it. Furthermore, when he found the sheep, he didn't scold the sheep from walking away from his protection. No. He joyfully scooped it up in his arms and carried it home. You see, God celebrates when a lost person is found. And each of these three parables ended with a party. The shepherd, the woman, the father, they all rejoice when they with their friends when they found what they lost. All of the people who listened to Jesus tell this story had probably participated in a celebration similar to the one he described. See? And because Jesus had come down from heaven, he had seen similar rejoicing there. At the end of the day, Jesus wanted his listeners to know that every time a person is found, all of the heaven rejoices. And while you may turn your back on God from time to time, he will never turn his back on us. At the beginning of the final parable, the young man asked, and he received, remember when he said, the share of his father's estate, right? And then taking his father's inheritance before his father died, the young man implied, I wish you were dead. You know, I want your money more than I want you in my life. So when this young man reached a point of despair, blowing all his inheritance and decided to go home because he was broke. He had nowhere to go. Funny how they always come home when they got nothing else, right? Have we all been there? I've been there, right? He wasn't expecting a warm welcome, right? And while he hoped his father would forgive him, see, he wasn't sure he would be forgiven completely. And he certainly didn't expect to restore the family name with the privileges of being his son. Now think about this. What the lost son didn't know was that his father had never stopped looking for him. It doesn't matter whether or not you strayed away from God. It doesn't matter if you went and did some things that you might not be happy about. The moment the father saw his son approaching, he ran out. He ran out to him, and the celebration began. Even though his father had completely knew that his son turned away, that didn't mean the father stopped loving him. The father never turned his back on the straying son. See, God's compassion for the lost, and we should be doing the same thing. We should be going out and giving food. Let's think about all the food we waste. Make a couple of more sandwiches and throw some juice boxes in there for lunch and drop it off to a couple of homeless people on the way. Right? Grab a few blankets that you keep in the closet that you don't use a whole lot, and you've been saving them because you bought new blankets, and now they're just piling up in the guest room closet, or they're piling up in the garage. Pick those up, throw them in the trunk, fold them up, and go take them to some homeless folks, and just hand them out and love all over them. God has compassion for the lost. Again, in the third parable, Jesus specifically said that the father felt compassion for the son. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 15, it talks about this. Read it for yourself and read it and fully get an understanding what Jesus is trying to say here. See, the father understood how miserable the boy must have become. He realized how hard it must have been, think about this, to come home, right, and eat that crow. Out all big and boastful, and you come back with your tail between your legs. See, that prompted the compassion by the father. The father extended his love and acceptance to his son. In this parable, the father is our heavenly father. That's the example that Jesus is saying. See, Jesus intended that these three parables not only inform but also tug at the emotions of his listener. How can we be in a country that has everything and have so many people with nothing? Think through each story that I just talked about and put it in a contemporary setting. Imagine those situations where you lost something of value, right? Let's say your keys and you're searching for it and then it's recovered, especially when you're late for work. You know how that feels? You were looking for those keys, looking for, oh, you found them, oh, I can go? Then ask God to give you his heart when it comes to lost people, to feel the same way for the lost. And when you get a chance to pray over them and allow them to embrace this man called Jesus, and you're used as a vessel to lead them to Christ, rejoice. Pray that he'll enable you to search for them as diligently as you did for those car keys, as you would look for any other cherished item that you've lost. At the end of the day, it's about increasing the kingdom. Don't get so caught up in your church box and you forget that you have to go outside of church walls. I really believe that Jesus would have never said, he didn't go get his disciples out the temple. I was talking to some brothers last night about this. You know, the disciples didn't sit around on the Mount of Olives and waited for people to come to them. No, they went out seeking the lost. If you have a church and you're in a church that is not concerned about outreach and going out and seeking the church, I encourage you to run. Run as far away from that church as you can. Because if it's not about the lost, then what's the point? Is it just about the box? You know, I talked about in other recordings about the lemonade stand, and I call the lemonade stand the church, right? And we build up all these lemonade stands all over the city, and they're big and pretty, and some are small, some are big, some are large, right? Some have a lot of people standing in line, a lot of people, you don't have very few. But at the end of the day, these lemonade stands, they stand here and they say, if you're thirsty, you can come to me for a drink. And they stand there and we wait for them to come to us for a drink. But people are not knocking down church doors to get in. What are we really going to do about them? Who is responsible for them? Is it the pastor? Is it the pastor's job, right? He's the pastor, so he should be the one in the community doing this. The flock, we have no responsibility at all. Let it not be so. We need to assist church pastors in bringing in the lost. You set up these lemonade stands, and we say, if you're thirsty, come over here and get a drink. How about we take the lemonade to the people? Because the symbol of the lemonade is the living water. And you want to come and get a drink? How about we take the drink to them? Why is that a problem? Why are we not seeing more of that? Why are we being outdone by Jehovah's Witnesses and the Latter-day Saints because we can't get off our quad and share the gospel because our feelings get involved? Oh, I can't infringe, or I can't this, and or I can't that. Jesus did everything for you, and you're going to tell me that you can't go knock on the door and ask someone what they need prayer, that you're here to just embrace them and love all over them, that you can't go out to the homeless and share the gospel? Are you serious? Jesus gave us his life. The least we can do is give him our time. In closing, at the end of the day, what God is trying to do, saints, is dethrone us from the center of our own lives. Wake us up so we can really be victoriously fulfilling his purpose, the purpose he has for us. So what are you waiting for? Until next week, this is Holy Living Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Go out and make a difference in somebody's life today. God bless.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. B-flat on the track. G-O-D.